Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. This is the Lamp and Light broadcast coming to you from Central Baptist Church in beautiful Ocala, Florida. Lamp and Light is a ministry that takes a book of the Bible, verse by verse, teaching it as it is, to men as they are, without compromise or apology, while at the same time speaking the truth in love, giving the lamp and light to all.
Yesterday, in our study of 1 Timothy chapter 3, we were taught that the pastor is responsible to have himself and the church ready to meet the Lord. Let's continue with that thought today.
And now, here's our teacher and radio pastor, Dr. Andy Blooms.
Now, he is the duly appointed one to carry out the direction of God's word within the local church. Now, what's Timothy to do? He needs to get things in order. That's what we're told. He is to get things here ready, have them in order and ready. I'm reminded of Amos 4, verses 12 and 13, where it says, "Because I will do this unto thee, prepare to meet thy God, O Israel. For lo, he that formeth the mountains and createth the wind, and declareth unto man what is his thought, that maketh the morning darkness, and treadeth upon the high places of the earth, the Lord, the God of hosts, is his name. He's omniscient, he's all-knowing. My friend, are you prepared to meet God? Is my life in the order God wants it when he comes? Am I in the prescribed will of God for my life? Oh, look, prepare to meet thy God." Jesus came the first time and had men studied the book of Daniel, especially Daniel chapter 9. They would have been looking for him when he came. Angels announced his coming. They were religious as ever when he did come, but they didn't realize he had come. They couldn't see the tree because of the forest of religious activity and theory. Now, we've seen preparation, but let's look at perspective in verse 15. "But if I tarry long, that thou mayest know how thou oughtest to behave thyself in the house of God, which is the church of the living God, the pillar and ground of the truth." In perspective, why is the Holy Spirit giving these instructions to a young pastor, Timothy, through the pen of the apostle? The structure of this verse is very interesting. "But if I tarry long," if I take longer than a short time, you still need this, whether I, as an apostle, am coming or not. God sees it whether I do or not, Paul is instructed to let him know. Have you ever sat in your house? You see the pastor coming? Turn the channel? Hide the magazines? Put some clothes on. And, oh, you're getting it all because he's coming. Well, the text is saying, don't count on it if I tarry long, but if I do, you be ready for when I get there. Oh, my friend, we don't know when Jesus is coming again, but you be ready for Christ's return. And he adds that thou mayest know how thou oughtest to behave thyself in the house of God. Now, who is thyself? Well, it's addressed primarily to Timothy, but also it's for the local church, but Timothy is the pastor, that he may teach this to the local church. Now, behave has the idea of conduct. It's that simple. Both how he is to conduct thyself, that is himself, and to conduct the church as the overseer, as the bishop, as the shepherd. It is a present infinitive which has the idea of continually conducting himself and continually conducting the church in this matter as the pastor. Many of us can't see the tree for the forest on this phrase, Church of the Living God. It is a tremendous honor to be God's co-laborers, his under-shepherd, his deacon, his workers in the local church. Many try making this an invisible church. But then we're given qualifications of pastors and deacons. Have you ever seen a pastor or deacon introduce himself, "I'm the pastor, I'm a deacon"? Of the first invisible church of our city? Invisible is hard to see, isn't it? The context of this entire chapter is that of a local church. This is not speaking of an invisible church. It's a local church. It is the church of the living God. Therefore, the pastor and those employed in the house of God must conduct themselves holily so as not to bring reproach on the holy name of God or his house. A man who is arrested for not paying taxes finds his name is given in the paper. But if it's a pastor, again, it's the pastor of Central Baptist Church is arrested for not paying taxes. By the way, just that very headline might make some of us mad. Why did they have to say the pastor? Well, even the world then expects a higher standard for the pastor. So should we. It is the church of the living God. And since Jesus Christ is risen from the dead, he is the fountain of life, and in him was life, and that life was the light of man, and so he's a living God. And we need to live in such a way that we know our living God is coming again. We next see the local church is the pillar and the ground of truth. Now, those are architectural terms. Pillar is a supporting structure. Ground is the foundational reference. The truth is the word of God. Jesus said in John 17:17, "Thy word is truth." The local church is a ground, a supporting structure, and a foundation for the truth. The Bible should always be preached in the house of God. It should be taught in the house of God. The church is not for entertainment. It's not for how much musical entertainment we can get, how many plays that we can have. It is for the teaching and preaching of God's word. It is not to entertain you. It is to feed you the word of God. Proverbs tells us to buy the truth and sell it not in Proverbs 23:23. The word of God is not for sale, nor is it for compromise. My friend, don't go to the church that will not preach the word of God. Don't go to the church that has kicked out this King James Bible if you're an English-speaking church. The foundation is that on which the superstructure rests. Now, the great foundation of the local church is the word of truth, the Bible. We have no right to play fast and loose with the truth. We also have no right to try to change it. Whereas the ground on which the foundation sits is not seen, the pillars are. Therefore, the church is to be occupied with proclaiming the truth, that the world may hear it, that the world may see it. And when we go away from preaching for concerts, for skits, and for dramas, in order to entertain and keep a crowd, then we are no longer a biblical local church. We're no longer obliged to continue in the church once she ceases being a continual ground and pillar for the truth. 2 Corinthians 6 gives the instruction, "Come out from among them and be ye separate." Our regard for the truth must be greater than our regard for a church when that church has become unscriptural and it's gone away from the Word of God. Now, having seen the preparation and the perspective, let's lastly see the person in verse 16. He says, "And without controversy, great is the mystery of godliness. God was manifest in the flesh, justified in the Spirit, seen of angels, preached unto the Gentiles, believed on in the world, received up into glory. If you go through the local church, the tree to see is the Lord Jesus Christ. Seeing the local church is to be the bedrock for the truth in this present age. It is God's exclusive organization in this age. The church then must always publish, protect, stand for, preserve, transmit the Word of God in its uncorrupted form to the entire world, not just part of the Word. And never should they part from the Word for any consideration. Now notice how verse 16 takes us to Christ. Because our mission is to preach Jesus according to the word of truth. He says without controversy. That means quite arguably obvious to true people of faith in his word. Great is the mystery of godliness. Now, the mystery is what really, when you think about it, Christmas is all about. And it may not be Christmas as you're listening to this. I record months ahead, and I don't think that this will be played around Christmas. But it is that of the incarnation. When God came down to earth, taking into union with his deity, a human body, a human spirit, and a human soul. He was 100% God, and yet 100% man. The God-man. God was manifest in the flesh. Emmanuel, God with us. This entire verse, really verse 16, is a summary of the gospel and the truth we're to preach. There are six things describing the work of Christ that helps us through the forest to see the tree of life. God was manifest in the flesh. Manifest means made known. This teaching not only is revealing to us the virgin birth by which he didn't have a human father and therefore didn't inherit his blood from a man that had a sin nature, and of course, he did not get any of the blood of the mother, who also had a sin nature, but in that she was selected, she's a special woman, blessed, and she found that he was her Savior, as she said by her own words in the book of Luke chapter 1. But Jesus Christ is Emmanuel. He is God in the flesh. He is the Word made flesh and that dwelt among us.
This is your radio pastor, Pastor Andy Bloom, saying, may the Word of God be a lamp unto your feet and a light unto your pathway today.
We want to thank you for listening to the Lamp and Light broadcast. If you would like a CD or cassette tape of today's message by Dr. Bloom, send us your name, mailing address, the radio station by which you are listening, the date of the broadcast, and a gift of $5 to Lamp and Light Broadcast. 1714 Southeast 36th Avenue, Ocala, Florida, 34471. We also welcome your comments on the broadcast and Bible questions. Again, you may write us at the same address, which is 1714 Southeast 36th Avenue, Ocala, Florida, 34471. You may also visit us on the web at www.centralbaptistocala.org. No breaks. Click Sermon Library. Again, that web address is www.centralbaptistocala.org. With no breaks. This is your announcer, Jerry Banks, saying, may God's peace be with all that are in Christ Jesus.